Amen. Let's look in 1 Kings chapter 2. 1 Kings chapter 2. And while you're opening up there, I just want to let you know that this morning, Bruce Cowper, who's the son of Edith Cowper, came to church and he let me know that Edith went home to be with the Lord this past week. Some of you know her. And so her funeral arrangements are at Ryan's funeral home over on St. Catherine Boulevard in Toms River. Viewing will be from 2 to 4 tomorrow and 7 to 9 tomorrow night. And there will be a service at 9:30 a.m. on Tuesday morning. Interment is over at Arneytown. And so you be praying about that. Pray for the family. And this came unexpected. She went to bed on Saturday night and went home to be with the Lord. And so I'll be praying for the family. Pray that the Lord will give me a message. There might be quite a few people there. It's unsaved. And so I want to be able to give a good gospel message. I'll be preaching tomorrow afternoon. I'll be preaching Tuesday morning at the funeral home and then again at Arneytown. And so I have three opportunities to be able to give the gospel. And so you pray for Bruce Cowper, Edie's husband. He is in Tall Oaks, nursing home right now. He has dementia very bad, especially sundown syndrome. So if you can pray for Bruce, remember to pray for him. Maybe send him a card or stop by and see him. And he's at Tall Oaks in Bayville. All right, 1 Kings chapter 2. Title of the lesson is Lord May Continue. And the desire of David was that the Lord's work would continue in his son Solomon. And that's what we have in this passage in chapter 2 of 1 Kings. It says, now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments, and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself, that the Lord may continue his word, which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth, and with all their heart, with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. Let's pray. Father, thank you for allowing us to be together tonight. And Lord, we're just thankful to be able to weather through the storm and this coldness and the snow and all these things that we have to deal with at this time of the year. We're just thankful, Lord, for the work that was done today to get these drain pipes unfrozen, Lord. And Lord, we're just thankful, God, that you're with us each and every day, each and every step of every way that we go. And God, that we can trust you tonight. I pray that you would help us to learn some practical truths in David's last remarks to Solomon, the charge and the challenge that he gives to him. The desire on David's heart was that the Lord might continue the work that he'd done in his own heart and life through his children and the generations to come. And Lord, I'm just thankful that we can come to you and praise and worship, Lord, and acknowledging the will of God. And Lord, I just pray you might use each of us in a powerful way to be able to show forth the continual work of God. And so bless tonight. There might be somebody here not saved. I don't ever want to take that for granted, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you might touch them and bring conviction upon them that they might receive Christ as their Savior. And God, how each believer here needs to be challenged, Lord, to continue in the things of God. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text verse is verse 4. Says that the Lord may continue, and that's where I got my title of the lesson, that the Lord may continue his word, which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, he said he, a man on the throne of Israel. We know very clearly in the passage that David is coming to the end of his life. And it's always interesting to hear what somebody has to say when they know they're coming to the end of their life. I like reading different biographies and autobiographies and just hearing the testimonies of great Christians of years gone by as they come to the end of their life, what they have to say about life and the challenge that they give us in going on and continuing on for the Lord. I'll tell you, when your life is coming to an end, life is really precious. And when you know that you're not going to have an opportunity to be able to do something else for God, the desire that's on your heart is that the people that are following after you are going to do something for God to continue on what the Lord has started in your life and through his work through you. His desire is to give some last-minute instruction to Solomon. Solomon, we know, has already been anointed to be king over Israel. According to 1 Kings chapter 1, in verse 39, it says, "And Zadok, the priest, took a horn of oil out of the tabernacle and anointed Solomon, and they blew the trumpet, and all the people said, 'God save King Solomon.'" And so here Solomon's already anointed to take the position of his father and reigning over Israel. And David is wanting to give him a great understanding and instruction of what the responsibility is that he is going to have. And may I say that we have a great responsibility, each one of us, to be able to continue on, let the Lord continue on his work through us. And we don't want to be the generation that all of a sudden God stops working. We don't want to be the generation all of a sudden we don't see any people saved anymore. We don't want to be the generation where we say, well, we just kind of gave up and rolled over and just let everything go. We want to be able to let the Lord continue on in our life, working and blessing and moving for his own glory. So let's look at these four verses here and think about what David is challenging Solomon in reference to the end of his life. First of all, he tells him, "Show thyself a man." In verse 2, he says, "I go the way of all the earth." So he's acknowledging his life is coming rapidly to an end. He says, "Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man." And we need young men to stand up for the Lord. We need women, young women, to stand up for God. We need each and every believer in Christ to be strong in the God who has saved us and called us, and he enables us and equips us to do the work of the ministry. We need to show thyself a man. Notice, first of all, that means just to be strong in the Lord. It's not about having a worldly perception and talking about boasting and being prideful about who you are, but rather it is being strong in the Lord and knowing that our strength comes from God and God alone. Without Christ, we can do nothing. And so you show thyself a man, or you show thyself as a mature individual that is standing for God and acknowledging the fact that our strength comes before the Lord, from the Lord and from him only. Paul said in Ephesians 6 in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Said, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." God's intention is not for us to give up. God's intention is not for us to lay down and just let the devil have his way. It is not God's intention for the Christian just to ignore the trends in culture and refuse to be involved in impacting our culture for Christ. You say, well, how can we do that? You need to be strong in the Lord. It's not by our strength, but it's by the strength of God that is in us. And we put on the whole armor of God. And as we are clothed with the armor of God, we are able to stand against every attack that comes against us. Jesus said, "Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." If that is true, and I believe it's true, because the Bible records what Jesus said, then that means we are not to give up any ground. We're not to lose any ground. We're to show ourselves a man and be strong in the Lord and refuse to give in. Patrick Henry said this, "Adversity toughens manhood, and the characteristic of the good or the great man is not that he has been exempt from the evils of life, but that he has surmounted them. And we're living in an era in America. It's funny to watch. It's funny to hear from the people on the radio or television or whatever, and people have to say about our culture, whether it's girly men and all this, that, and the other, and there, whether it's secular or whether it's Christian. The underlining emphasis is that men have lost their manhood, and the reality is they have. And I think it's time for men to be men again and for men to be proud to be a man. There's nothing wrong with that. And you're all getting nervous about that, amen? It's okay to say that. I know that's not politically correct, but it's okay to say that. It's all right to say that men need to be men. And may I say women need to be women. And we need to be men and women of God who stand strong in the Lord. And we're not afraid of the adversity that may come, because it's through the adversity that God instills character into us. And so David is telling Solomon, listen, you need to show yourself a man. And you need to face the obstacles. You need to acknowledge the enemy. You need to stand in the strength of your God and not be afraid of he who is going to stand against you. And so we need to literally have young men and young women that are going to stand for the Lord, be strong in the Lord. So show thyself a man. Not only are you strong in the Lord, but it's the means to be strong in grace. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, strong in grace. If it was not for the grace of God, we would not be saved tonight. If it was not for the grace of God, we would not be able to accomplish what God desires to do in our life. But in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1 says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And listen, it is by the grace of God, Paul said, I am what I am. Whatever you're going to be able to accomplish in your life for God, it's not about you. It's about the grace of God that's working in you and through you. And I think sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we might be able to develop some abilities, or maybe sometimes we might be able to memorize some scripture, or maybe we might be able to gain some knowledge, and all of a sudden it's easy to be puffed up in pride, and that is not where God is. And we need to be strong in God's grace to be able to do the work that God has called us to do. In verse 2 of 2 Timothy, he says, in the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You see the generational concept of being strong in grace. He tells Timothy to be strong in grace. The grace that he's talking about is the grace that he witnessed was in the Apostle Paul. And Paul is challenging him, that same grace you're to commit to faithful men. Men who are going to walk with God and be surrendered to God. Why? That they would be able to teach others also. Listen, it does not end with this generation. It goes from generation to generation to generation. And so if we're going to show ourselves a man, then we need to be strong in the Lord, and we need to be strong in grace. But we also need to be strong in commitment. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13. Strong in commitment. It says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. And so being strong in our commitment that we make and we have as a Christian. I talk with pastors, and it is across the board. They say we are in an era where it is difficult to get people to be faithful to church. And it's been difficult to get people to be faithful in ministry, doing the work of the ministry. I talk to people who have been in ministry a long time. I'm talking about lay people, not on a vocational pastors or something like that, but people that have worked in ministry and they've been doing it a long time. And they say, well, I'm just tired. Somebody else needs to do this. And it's hard to get people to be committed to ministry. And yet God has called us to be strong in our commitments. He has called us to be watchful, that means to be alert, to be aware of the days that you're in, staying fast in the faith. In other words, you're not pushed around, you're not pushed backwards, you're moving ahead, you're not losing ground. Quit you like men. The word quit you like men just carries with it the idea men don't quit, they just keep going on. And you literally just need to be strong. And so we need to be strong in our commitments that we have. Commitments on our job, commitment in our communities, commitment to our family, commitment to our church. We're living in an era where that word commitment's a bad thing. People don't want to talk about commitment. They don't want to fulfill commitment. But yet God has called us to be committed to these things. And David is challenging Solomon to be strong in the Lord, strong in his grace, and strong in his commitment. What does that mean? You need to know your values. What is your values? Everybody has a core of values that we live by. They may be good, they may not be good. They may be different than what someone else's is, but it's for sure you have a core of values that you live by. And you need to identify those core values, whether they be in line with Scripture or not. And if they are in line with Scripture, then you're committed to holding to that core of values. And, you know, it's amazing because over the years, I'll tell you, there's been all kinds of pressures on me as a pastor to bend and compromise and accept things. I'm sorry, it just goes against my whole value system. And I am committed to what my values are because God has taught me these morals and these codes of conduct through the Word of God, and I cannot compromise those things. And so we need people, the next generation and the generation after that, as David is challenging Solomon, to know what your values are. And hold to your values. We're living in an era in America where people have no idea what moral values are because we've completely removed the Word of God and completely removed any sense of justice and goodness and righteousness and holiness from the whole culture in which we live. So how in the world can somebody develop values that are worthwhile holding to? And so Solomon needed to find his values and then keep them. Not only do you know your values, but you need to be strong in your commitment by developing your convictions. Developing your convictions. You know, years ago, I first got saved and I started growing, at least I think I was growing in the Lord. I don't know. I hope I was growing in the Lord. I started developing some convictions in my life about a lot of different things. I had family, I had friends basically just telling me, you're just doing that because that preacher tells you got to do that. And I said, no, I do that because God has showed me from his word that's what I'm supposed to do. And that's the convictions God has given me. One of the things I appreciate about Midwestern Baptist College is when I went to college, they didn't say, this is what you're to believe. They said, here's what we're going to study. Now you got to figure out what it is you believe about it. And I'm thankful that they put it to us that way and presented it to us that way. And they taught truth and they taught what the Word of God says. But they taught us as preacher boys how to study the Word of God and how to develop your convictions. And literally, I remember my pastor telling me, he said, Mike, you're going to Bible college. He said, I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to see a lot of things you're not going to agree with. You're going to see a lot of things that maybe you're not going to like. But he said this to me, best advice I ever got. He said, just shut your mouth, get your education, figure out what God's convictions are in your life, and get out of Bible college with your degree and go out and do the ministry. And you live according to your values and your convictions that you developed by studying what the Word of God says. You say, why are you so strong on your convictions? Because I've studied it out for myself. Amen. I remember years ago, the whole issue about divorcees being pastors or being deacons in churches is a major, major issue. I've had to deal with it in my own family, but I'm going to tell you, I've studied that thing out. And I remember a friend of mine when I was in Bible college, We had to write a paper, a research paper, on out of 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy on the instruction that Paul gave to Timothy in reference to the qualifications of a pastor and the qualifications of a deacon. And I did this whole study, and as I was doing it, a friend of mine that was in Bible college with me was a divorced man. And he said, "Mike, what'd you write on your paper on? What'd you do your research on?" And I said, "Well, I did it on the qualifications of a pastor and a deacon. There to be a husband of one wife." Man, he got so mad at me. I said, "Whoa, I didn't ask you if I could tell you what I did my research on. You came to me and asked me what did you do the research on. And this is the conclusion that I came to in studying out the Word of God. Well, then you're telling me I'm not supposed to be a pastor." I said, "Brother, you got to answer before God for that. But I can tell you what, I understand theologically why I hold the conviction that I hold." And I've had over the years where people have pressured me and pressured me and pressured me and saying, "You need to compromise." The days that we live in, you have to understand that divorce is over 50% in the church, and you won't have anybody qualified to be able to. You need to change your position. No, I stand strong in my commitment based on the values and the convictions that I have learned by studying what the Word of God has to say. It may be directly against the culture, but I cannot compromise what I believe. Amen. And I don't know what your position is, but that's just an illustration, an example of an area that I get a lot of pressure on. And I still do today get a lot of pressure on that issue. And there's other issues that we could go in, but we don't have time to do that. But I'm just saying this, you need to show yourself a man. And a man is someone who is strong in their commitments because they understand the value system by which they live. And that value system they live by is based upon their convictions. So that's number three, the third part of this thought. You need to live out those values and those convictions. You need to live them out. In other words, you don't compromise your value and your convictions just because of a friend. Or you don't compromise your value and your convictions because of a family member, whatever. I have a conviction to be in church on Sunday. Anybody who comes to my house on Sunday, they're going to church with me. They're either going to church or they're going home, one or the other. I do not stay home from church because family comes over. I do not stay home from church because of the fact I'm tired and I had to work a lot of hours. This week is going to be crazy for me. I got to preach every day this week with funerals and all this, that, and the other. I got to drive the bus 2 days this week to take the kids to basketball games. My days are completely full this week. And there is no leeway for anything else. But I'm going to tell you, there's nothing that's going to come in to rob me and stop me from doing what I know God's called me to do. Amen. You say, "Why are you saying that?" Because if the way that God's going to bless in the life of Solomon is going to continue, that there will be a person on the throne of David continually, because that's what it said in verse 4. It says, "There shall not fail thee," said he, "a man on the throne of Israel," but there is nobody on the throne of Israel. Why is that? Because he didn't show himself to be a man. Because he didn't hold to the things that God had commanded. Dr. Dennis Rainey said this: "Your heritage you receive is not as important as the legacy you leave." We're always wanting to say, "Oh, we have this wonderful heritage. We have this Christian heritage." Yes, but what is your legacy? Right. What are you going to be remembered for? What is going to be your impact on Christianity that's going to continue to the next generation and the generation after that? I don't care what you boast about or what you received. It's what you're going to leave that's going to make a difference. Because you're all going to leave something. I'm going to leave something. And so David tells Solomon, listen, you need to show yourself to be a man. Notice, not only show thyself a man, but in verse 3, he says, keep the charge. In verse 3, he says, and keep the charge of the Lord. Putting a lesson together is easy. Just write what the Bible says, and you've got your points, amen? And so he says, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. So keep thy charge. That word charge means obligation. It means a service. And so he's telling Solomon, Solomon, you fulfill your obligations of service of God. Solomon, don't you neglect your obligations to serve the Lord. And then he goes on and talks to him. He says, to walk in his ways and to keep his statutes and his commandments. So how do you do that? You need to remember the word of God. And it needs to be the guiding light for your life. It needs to be the main thing that determines who you are, where you go, and what you do. Remember the word. Proverbs 3:1 says, my son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. So whenever you make a decision in life, it's got to be based on what God has so stated, because the charge that was given to Solomon was that he was to walk in the ways of God, he was to keep his statutes, he was to keep his commandments, his judgments, and he was to keep his testimonies as it was written in the law of Moses. Remember what God said. I love it when Christmas, summer comes around, our kids come home from college and everything. It's great to see them all. I always ask them, you know, how's your classes? Amen. It's always interesting to see the response of our kids when you're in college, you know. You come out of high school whining and complaining because everybody has to spoon feed you. And then all of a sudden you go to college and they just say, oh, your report will be due. Here's your syllabus. You don't hear anything else. And you better do it or you fail. And so they find out a whole new perspective on life. So I always like to hear what they have to say about their education. Let me say this. I don't care how much education academically you get. If you neglect the word of God, you're not fulfilling the charge that God has given you. Our charge that we receive from the Lord, and that the Lord may continue to work his will and way in our lives, in our church, and in our world that we live, means that we need to remember the word of God. Helen Keller said this, character cannot be developed in ease and quiet. Only through experiences of trial and suffering can the soul be strengthened, vision cleared, ambition inspired, and success achieved. You know, oftentimes what happens is we face the trials and difficulties in life. Didn't I put that on there, Jack? Very interesting. All right. Thought I put that on the slide. I don't know. Today's been a whirlwind, it seems like. But anyway, we need to realize that, wait a minute, when the trials come, they're not there to defeat us. They're there to challenge us in being strong in the Lord and remembering what God has said to us that he desires for us to accomplish. I don't know about you. I'm always up for a challenge, amen? And I don't shy away from things. I'm not afraid of the challenges that we have to face. Sometimes I get a little nervous about it. But I've learned over the years that God, if his word says this is where you go and this is what you do, then that's fine. It doesn't matter what comes along with it, because God will be able to get us through. How is that? I remember his word. And you get a word from God. Not only that, we need to delight in his word. And if Solomon's going to be able to accomplish the charge that God has given him, he's not going to have to be satisfied with, and not just satisfied, but overabundantly rejoicing in what God has to say. And so we need to delight in the word of God. In Psalm 1 and 1, did I have that on there? I don't have that on there? Well, I skipped way over then. Okay. Oh, I see what I did. I thought I was putting Helen Keller in, and I put Baxter in. Well, let me read Baxter and we'll finish up those points. Amen. I like what he had to say about this too. Amen. Notice, fundamentally, our Lord's message was himself. I love this. Listen to what he has to say. If you ever get a chance to buy any commentaries by Sidlow Baxter, he has some great commentaries. Fundamentally, our Lord's message was himself. He did not come merely to preach a gospel. He himself is that gospel. He did not come merely to give bread. He said, I am the bread. He did not come merely to shed light. He said, I am the light. He did not come merely to show the door. He said, I am the door. He did not come merely to name a shepherd. He said, I am the shepherd. He did not come merely to point the way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Keep the charge. God gives us a charge to press ahead. Solomon had a charge from God to continue on, to let God work through him. And so if he's going to do it, he would have to remember the word, and then he would have to delight in the word. I think that comes up next, doesn't it? Amen. No, continue in hope. What in the world am I talking? That's the whole next point. Well, praise God. Here you go. Delight in the Lord. Psalm 1. Throw the notes out. Amen. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. I just want you to know that you can rejoice in the preciousness of God's word, thankful that God, listen, God is directly talking to you. And sometimes we kind of approach the Bible as if, okay, well, that's wonderful. God said all these different things to different people. No, when you read the Bible, God is speaking to you. In Psalm 119 and verse 111, says, thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. And so to keep the charge, you need to remember the word, delight in the word, you need to rejoice in the word. All right, now we get to the carrying on the work in verse 4. That the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. So what does that mean? To carry on the work means we must continue in faith. Continue in faith. Do I have that? Amen. I got that on there. Praise the Lord. And sometimes I don't know what goes on with that computer back there. I think these guys deliberately change it all around. So the Jude's in the Old Testament, right? No, it's in the New Testament, right before Revelation. Continue in faith. Jude verse 20 tells us, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Continue in your faith. Continuing in faith. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Philip Brooks said this, I think it's on the slide, I don't know. Character may be manifested in the great moments, but it is made in the small ones. And so continuing in faith, carrying on the work of God, continuing in faith, yes, that means you have to develop character that no matter what goes on, you continue on in the work of God. You may be getting older. Continue on. God has something for you to do. You say, well, I don't have the strength to do what I used to do. God still has something for you to do. You say, well, I'm young. I think our teenagers ought to be getting involved in things. I think they ought to be doing ministry. Ought to be going out soul winning. They ought to be doing nursing home ministry where they're doing the preaching. Amen. Get the preacher. Where's Nick at? There he is. Get those boys preaching. Get them up there. Give them a Bible and say, let it rip. And amen. And they need to learn how to do ministry. And we need to put our young people in a position where they're not just learning, but they're applying truth. Why? Because they have to continue in faith. This statistics that are constantly being spewed out by everybody of people, young people, no longer living the faith, moving away from the faith, has got to stop. It's got to stop. And the only way it's going to stop is if we realize that God is challenging us and charging us that we are to carry on the work of God. And so continue in faith, continue in hope. Continue in hope in verse 24 of Jude. And Jude is helping us to understand how important it is not to give up and not to quit. We have faith. Then if we have faith, then we always have hope. In verse 24, it says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling." So many times people are afraid to try something because they're afraid of failing. You're always going to have opportunities to fail. You're never going to get it always right. You're never going to do everything perfect. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to bomb out. I've got a whole bunch of them in my life. Amen. So he says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling." It's Christ that we depend upon. We rest in him, and he keeps us from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Just continue in the hope that, wait a minute, God is with you, and if God is leading, then God will bless you, and God will enable you to fulfill his will for his glory, and we just continue in hope. I just believe God. I just believe he can do great and mighty things. I don't know how he's going to do it. I can't figure it out. But I know that God wants to do something great in 2018. I don't know what it is yet, but I believe God's going to stretch our faith this year. God's going to do something magnificent this year that we're going to look at, and we're just going to get at the end of the year when 2019 comes around, and we're saying, going to sit there flabbergasted and say, "I can't believe that this happened." Amen. You say, "How do you know that?" I want to continue in faith. I want to continue in hope that God is able to pick us up and continue moving us ahead. Carry on the work. Carry on the work. Continue in love. In John chapter 15 and verse 9, it says, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." Isn't it interesting how many times, you ought to do a study on that, just how many times did God say, "Continue, continue"? I don't know where we get this idea we're supposed to stop. He says, "Continue, continue." Verse 10, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." And so we carry on the work, not just by continuing in faith, but continuing in hope and continuing in the love of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13 says, "Now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." And we need a love for people. And, you know, not people always don't act right. You say, "How do you know that?" Look in the mirror. You don't always act right. Amen. People don't always have the right spirit about things. You say, "How do you know that?" Because there's a few times I haven't had the right spirit about things. And there have been a lot of times I just have had to go to the Lord and confess and say, "Lord, I'm sorry, because I felt that I lost out on the blessing because I had a bad attitude about it." And we need to continue in the hope of the Lord and to continue in the love of Christ because of the fact there is a work that has to be carried on. And so in our text verse, says that the Lord, he says, "Now this is all I want you to do. I want you to show yourself a man. I want you to keep the charge of God. I want you to carry on the work." Why? That the Lord may continue his word. And listen, God's not going to continue his word if we're just going to give up on him. He's not. You need to believe God. You need to trust God. You need to know that God has something that he wants to do. May the Lord continue his work in your life. May the Lord continue his work in my life. And I just appreciate my brother, and my brother is a crane operator. He retired a couple months ago, and he's not sitting around doing nothing. He told me, he said, "Michael, I don't even know why I've been, how I even worked. I've been so busy since I retired." And what is he doing in his retirement? Teaching Sunday school, going soul winning, going in the nursing home, doing Bible studies in the church, helping out the pastor there at his church. It's amazing to me. We retire, people retire, and they do everything else but get involved in church ministry. I've watched it. I've watched it here. I've been here 22 years. And I watch people come to a place of retirement, and all of a sudden they get involved in all kinds of other things, but they don't come and get involved in the ministry here. How do you expect the ministry to be carried on? How do you expect the work to continue on? I just know this. God wants to do something in our ministry. He wants to do something in our life. And listen, he will continue to do those things if we'll take heed to what David gave Solomon as instruction to continue on for the Lord. And I just believe God. I really do. I just believe God. I'm not going to tell you all the things I believe God wants me to do, because I'm going to tell you, scare half of you to death. I believe God is able to do things that's out of our control, and I believe in God's working in the life of Solomon testifies to the fact that the admonition and the charge that David gave his son Solomon works. Amen?
Amen.
And it'll work in our life. We'll just take heed to that call and that challenge. Let's pray. Father, I pray, Lord, I really do pray that you would help us to see greater areas of opportunity of ministry. Life is not about recreation and money. Life is about souls.
Amen.
And it's like people's lives. And it's about continuing a work that God has started and continuing an opportunity to bring others to saving knowledge of Christ. And Lord, what a challenge David gave to Solomon. And so help us, Lord, to be strong. Help us to be faithful. Help us to hold on to the hope of God. Help us to challenge and mold and direct the next generation, Lord, that they may walk with you. God, I'm just thankful tonight that you always fulfill your word and your promises to us. And so, Lord, I pray that you would move in our hearts tonight. You would show us exactly what your perfect will is for each of us tonight. And God, I just pray that if there's somebody here not saved, I pray they might come and receive Christ tonight. Lord, we love you with all of our heart. We really do. We sincerely care about your will. And God, we're asking, we're pleading with you, Lord, just to show us what that is. And fulfill it, Lord, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.